Ramsey TV.
Yes, I will be uttering profundities today, I must tell you, as is my wont, uttering profundities, but they will be the profundities of Ruth of Mongolia, who wrote us with some significant differences that I had not grown up between the two Gospels. In the meantime, I'm wondering if this color scheme works. This is my first consideration. I have to have this settled in my mind before I can go on and concentrate on the scriptures. What do you think? Is this, what do you call this color shirt? It's not quite pink. Salmon? And then I'm wearing a tannish jacket. And I have some fashion sense, but I don't have an overwhelming amount of it. And I'm just wondering if this works. Well, I'm going with it. I took the chance, and here I am. Now, I've known about this difference, and I probably, maybe, possibly made videos on it or wrote on it, but not to the extent that our friend, fellow member of the body of Christ, and Mongolian Ruth has brought forward to us. This is profound, and I have talked about this to some members of the body of Christ, and not all of them are sure about it. It seems too fantastic to believe. Like, really, Zender? You really think this is true? I know that it's true. And I think after today, you're going to know that it's true. Ruth sent me an email. It goes like this. I've been thinking about the cross lately, and what it meant to Paul versus what it meant to the circumcision. I couldn't find the cross specifically among your 31 differences other than as a picture, and you alluded to the fact that we all died with him. So I'm proposing yet another difference, which I didn't find myself. I've heard you teach about it. Yeah, I thought Ruth was coming up with this, and I credited her. It's like, yeah, I have thought of this before, and I probably talked about it here and there, but Ruth has really amplified it. And now she says here that she didn't think about it herself, but she got it from me. That's funny. That is funny. But I find it too important to not be specifically included on the list. Here goes. And she really brings it out. Instead of me constantly telling you that, I'm just going to continue. The cross is a shame to Israel. They're embarrassed of it. Hebrews 12:2, the shame of the cross. It's a stumbling block to the circumcision, to the Jews. 1 Corinthians 1:23, to the Greeks, the cross is stupidity. To the Jews, it's a stumbling block. But the cross is the boast of the uncircumcision. Galatians 6:14. The circumcision does not mention the cross. I will go further. The circumcision ignores the cross. This is me now. They do. You don't find it mentioned as the epicenter, as the catalyst, the necessary thing that, boy, that was a poor word, thing. That's the best I could come up with. That turns the world, turns the universe, that provides for the salvation of all. And yet, that shouldn't be marveled at, because you will not find specifically the teaching of the salvation of all in circumcision writings. People tell me that that truth is crawling all over the place. No, it might be suggested in various places, even in the Hebrew scriptures, but it's not taught. It's not expounded upon. It's not proven until Paul. The cross is the boast of the uncircumcision. The circumcision, back to Ruth here, does not mention, it ignores the cross. Paul determined to know nothing but the cross. 1 Corinthians 2:3. Paul says, I know nothing among you. I've determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2:2. You won't read any verse like that in the circumcision writings, and there's a reason for that. Paul only mentions the crucifixion, I'm sorry, Peter only mentions the crucifixion in verb form, like you crucified the Lord of glory, three times in his Acts addresses, and he does it, this is what I have brought out before, Peter does it as an accusation. He doesn't bring up, he doesn't teach the cross as here's the means of salvation. Here's the thing. There I go with that again. The thing. Is it cross? There's the thing that saves you. There's the thing that you should consider your humanity crucified on. No, Peter never does that. Never tells them that they're a new creation based on their identification in the crucifixion of Christ. It's something they have to repent of. Acts 2, 36 through 38. The Jews have to repent of the crucifixion. In other words, the cross of Christ is bad news to the circumcision. It's not like, look at the cross. Extol the cross. Embrace the cross. No. Peter points to the cross and says, repent of what you did. Look at what you did to him. Repent of it. It's terrible. It's awful. It's the cross. It's the thing. What are you doing? You need to repent of the thing. Okay. John mentions the crucifixion once in the unveiling, but only to identify the city of Jerusalem. Other than that, nada. Ruth says, I'm not counting Hebrews since Paul wrote it, but even so, Hebrews mentions the cross only once as a shame, Hebrews 12:2, and a renewed crucifixion once in Hebrews 6:6. Like, you'll be crucifying Christ all over again if you don't embrace the Savior. If you don't embrace Jesus Christ, it's like you're crucifying him all over again. So he's still an accusation hue there. There's a tenor of accusation, even with that. The evangel is to the circumcision, the prophetic word confirmed. 2 Peter 1:9. Confirming the prophetic word. That is confirming truths and prophecies that came in the Hebrew scriptures before there was such a thing as the cross of Christ. Their message is, this is so important. Their message, the circumcision message, is one that confirms the prophetic word. Going back to the prophets, pre-cross, pre-crucifixion, pre-Christ. Did you ever wonder how Israel, in the old days, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, how do they get saved without the cross? Jesus hasn't even shown up yet. How can the cross be the centerpiece, the thing, that means everything to them if it hasn't even happened? And yet they can. They can still be worthy. They can be part of the former resurrection because they look forward to the coming one. That Moses said, one comes after me, right? John the Baptist, one comes after me. If the cross hadn't even happened when Jesus Christ was on earth. People were believing in Jesus Christ on earth when he was here, pre-crucifixion. But I say to you, there were no members of the body of Christ pre-crucifixion because the body of Christ is founded on the crucifixion of Christ and the cross of Christ. I'm going to tell you why. Well, I'll go ahead and tell you now. Because it eliminates the old humanity. It's a radical message. It's based on the cross. The cross is the foundation. The death of Christ for sin. 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4, identified with the cross. Romans chapter 6, the cross is the centerpiece. So there are no members of the body of Christ. Think of this. There are no members of the body of Christ before the crucifixion. Yet anyone in Israel who, before Christ, looks forward to him, and while Christ is here, looks at him and extols him as the Messiah, the coming one, the one appointed by God for Israel, then you're in. You're in. You're in. Are you going to tell me that Israel, that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob aren't going to be raised in the kingdom? That David's not going to be raised in the kingdom? It's possible, Martin, they don't believe in the death of Christ. They can't believe in the death of Christ. Christ hadn't shown up yet. Not even the 12 apostles can believe in the death of Christ. I mean, that was not a significant part of the circumcision evangel. The death of Christ is not. Yes, the circumcision admits that Jesus Christ died. Of course, it was an historical fact, but it's not the centerpiece of their evangel. It's not the beating, throbbing heart of their message. It is ours. What is the centerpiece of the Israel message, the Israel evangel? People ask me this all the time. I keep giving the answer, and people keep asking me. Here it is. That's okay. I'm patient. That Jesus is the Messiah. That's it. This one is the one appointed to be the Redeemer in Israel. And he proved that with miracles, signs, and wonders. Yes, he did. And that was evidence that he was the one. He was the anointed, the Christ. You are the Christ, Peter said, the Son of the living God. Christ anointed. How did they know? Because lots of great things happened. A voice came from heaven. A dove landed on his shoulder. He raised the dead. He walked on water. He fed the multitudes. Great credentials. He eviscerated the priesthood with great analogies. Love him. Whitewashed sepulchers, brood of vipers, den of thieves. Love it. Got to put those in my arsenal as well. I want to finish up on this tomorrow because, again, isn't this amazing? Isn't it amazing? It's another difference, and it's a profound one. It's a deep difference. And she's right. Ruth in Mongolia is right. I don't bring it up in my book, The First Idiot in Heaven. Like I say, books can only be so thick, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I'm working with here. People can only read so much. There it is. But I want you to order this book today. And I still have two or three more points to get to from my book. I think we left off on point number 28. There are 31. I am ecstatically happy to be able to discuss these things of consequence with you. I am thankful that I have the smartest audience on the internet and that you are searching these things of consequence together with me. There are many fluffy, non-essential things we could be talking about in this world. God knows what Frank Sinatra was into. We're into things that have aeonian consequences. Sometimes the things we're into don't have very happy short-term prospects. Don't involve very happy short-term feelings and moods. But the glory that we are preparing to enter into will be a weight of glory that only a changed body will be able to accommodate.